friend. How are you? Great to see you. I did not. Okay. Okay, is it good?
It's got Max's name in there and Oakland.
Does it really? What does it say about them?
That they're great football players.
They are great football players, yeah. Fantastic. Can I have this? Thank you. That's very important. It's got an article of accent. All right. All right, good evening. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. You guys are all so faithful, and I know the Lord Jesus is pleased with that. I'll say to you that for as far as the church strength goes, there's really nothing that replaces faithfulness. You can be the most gifted person ever, but if you're not faithful, you can't be a central part of a church. But you guys are the bedrock of our church, and I thank God for you. And if one by one you guys began to disappear, every one of you that disappeared would weaken our church. And so I'm just so grateful for you. You guys are the dream team. You think of yourselves as the dream team? You're the dream team, and we're grateful to have you tonight. Who's got a praise tonight? Praising the Lord. God's been good to somebody. Miss Farmer, praise the Lord. She sure did. That is kind of a miracle, you know. She had a hard time breathing. I'm very surprised they did that surgery because of her breathing. But praise the Lord, she did that. Hey, they did something. They replaced something in her heart. Can you believe they can do that? Oh man, don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I don't know. Well, pray, amen. You're right about that. We prayed for her, and thank God for her. She's a tender heart. Anybody else got a praise tonight? Something you're thankful for? Uncle Dwayne?
Tim Carl had his third chemo treatment today, and the last one he tried to have, they couldn't do it because his count was wrong. They said now his counts are great, and the chemo is working.
Yay. Yeah, I told Tim the other day, I saw him somewhere. Who was that, Brother Tim? That's right. And I said, we need more of you, not less of you. Don't go dying on us, you know. Yeah. The doctors told him just a few months if you don't take chemo, but a couple years if you do. And he's just a remarkable servant of the Lord. He's just like so many of you folks, humble, quiet, but just helping those boys, those fatherless boys, you know, just a blessing. The longer we can keep him, the better off we're going to be. So we pray for Tim Croft, for all the fatherless boys out there. We pray for them. Pray for him, excuse me. Anybody else got a praise tonight? Praise. Miss Catherine, praise. Amen. I'm so grateful for that, for sure. You know, it's hard to think, but I bet you your precious son brought you joy every day of your life. What a gift he was to you, and I'm thankful that God helps you because you wouldn't be here. I know, Miss Catherine, you couldn't. You know, you wouldn't be standing without God's help, and I thank God that he's helped you. Miss Ceylon? Mr. Ceylon, excuse me. Hey, you know what? I took Miss Catherine? Miss Catherine? Yeah, go ahead, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He said, praise the Lord for the church and what these people mean. He's talking about you folks, what you mean to him. Amen. I went to a Charity Gayle concert. If you ever get a chance to go to one of those, probably the best concert I've ever been to. She's a fabulous worship leader, so humble, so dresses so modestly, doesn't wear makeup, just praises the Lord. And anyway, her husband is named something else, right? He said it really hurts his feelings when somebody walks up to him and says, Brother Gayle. He's not Brother Gayle, but she kept her maiden name because that was already her stage name. Anyway, who else has got a praise tonight? Anybody praising Jesus tonight? God's been good. You're here in the house of the Lord. You know, some of our prayer requests prior have been answered. I'll tell you something funny. And please know I say these things in jest. I mean truly, I wish all churches well. But in the new church that Calvary Children's Something goes to, on that first Sunday, Savannah fell out, and they had to have an ambulance come in and interrupt the service and get her out of there. And then this Sunday, they sent out a big newsletter, and it said, hey, let's do something special for Calvary Children's Home. Let's give them their own specialized seating. And they named the rows that we blocked off so that we could all sit together. And we're not going to be there. We're on the road. So it would look like we had the Children's Home rapture, you know, that day. But anyway, I praise the Lord for you all. You are just great treasure. Even those rascals in the sound room back there, I praise the Lord for those guys. One of those fellas puts this water up here. Anybody else got a praise today? Praising the Lord in the sound room? Praising the Lord up here? Anybody? I got you. The wolf man's got nothing. Okay. Brother Jeff, will you lead us in worship tonight? Then we'll do our prayer requests. Are we standing or are we sitting?
We're standing.
Stand up for King Jesus. You knew you wanted to. Yeah. Stand if you can.
Storm through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way draws drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Well, I so appreciate Brother Jeff's sweet spirit. You know, there's something about when a grown man with a gray beard just sheds a few tears, it just moves my heart. I'll tell you the truth, I live with kids, and kids cry all the time. My wife will actually say, I could use a good cry. I'd love for one of y'all to tell me what that means. What is a good cry? I do not know, right? But when a man cries, it just warms my heart too, because I know it just touches your heart, you know, and thank God for a God who does lead us. Do you have a song that just blesses your heart? Is there a Christian song that you could listen to in the hard times? In my teen years, there was a song called Hiding Place by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and we didn't have a CD player, but one of my parents' cars did, and sometimes I would sneak out there with the keys and turn it on and play that song, because God was just my hiding place, you know. When I'm on airplanes, I sing that song our choir sings. You know that song, I Hate to Fly? I hate to fly. You know what happened to Humpty Dumpty. It didn't work out so good, you know. All the king's horsemen, all the king's men couldn't do nothing with that mess, you know. There's a lot of me, and I don't want to fall out of an airplane. And I'm not afraid to die, Miss Farmer. I just would like to have some dignity. I don't want to be calling for my mother the whole way down, you know. At any rate, I sing that song, I Lean on You, Lord. I lean on you, Lord, you know. I sing that almost the entire plane ride. I just hang on to the Lord, you know. I'm not convinced, Brother Don, it's the will of God for anybody to be up there. I'm just not. You know, God didn't give us wings. But I do fly for the kids' weddings and funerals and things like that. I'll jump on an airplane. But anyway, who needs some help from the King today? Can you got you have a prayer request? We'll petition the King for your help. Miss Lee Ellen?
Remember Carla's brother. He's having a kidney transplant.
Okay, big deal. Big deal. Huge deal. Love that. When at the school my son graduated from, there was an African-American teacher that gave a white student his kidney, and it was just a precious thing. And when my son gave his valedictorian speech, he talked about the great things he had seen in Christianity, and he mentioned that, and that gave that guy a great big standing ovation. It's a big, big deal. They do it a lot these days, but can you imagine a kidney transplant? Wow. Huge, huge, huge. We will pray for Carla's brother. Brother David. Uh-oh. We will. We'll really seek the King for her. Oh. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Our son-in-law, Amy's husband.
They're coming to get you, Miss Hodges. Hang on 1 second. Okay.
And he was maybe in his 40s, he had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's terrible.
Anyway, the service was Saturday. So just
okay.
Pray for the family.
Nope.
The wife's name is Brandy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amy's sister.
Sorry. How many of you guys, when you were a kid, 40 was old, but now we are where we are. I'm 49 years old. That's a young man that died. I'm so sorry. Brother Jeff?
Yeah, when we went to be with Claudia, Carrie had a friend with her, Miss Patty. I didn't get her last name. She's got stage 4 cancer.
Okay.
As well, so we want to remember Miss Patty in prayer for that.
Thank you for going, Miss Claudia. Thank you for that. And I thank you for meeting a friend you could pray for. Anybody else need some help from the King? Brother Ceylon? Tanner and Austin, is that their names? Tanner?
Austin and Tanner,
yeah. Okay. We will pray. Big, big deal. And if you heard their speeches at his funeral, you know, they loved him so. So, and, Miss Cassie? Yes, ma'am. We will sure pray. So sorry for all the loss. Anyone else tonight? Miss Andevy? Unspoken. Yes, ma'am. All right. Hey, let's pray together. And when I do, Jesus said he cares for us. The Lord Jesus Christ pledged to hear us when we cry, a very present help in time of trouble. God told us that we should go running to him in so many places of Scripture. So go with me. Let's take our troubles to Jesus. God, we do love you, and we bow our heads and our hearts before you, and we could never have known the many different prayer requests that were going to be mentioned today, but so, so many heavy ones. Brother David came out of the sound room, and he said, pray for Glenda. She had a horrific day. And God, we just hate that, Father, Lord. And we know that it's not like you were just asleep at the wheel or something like that, but God, we say that with all of the trouble that we have, we want your help, God. We want you involved. We want you to be near. We want to feel your presence. We want to hear your voice. We want to know direction from you, O God. And Father, we need mercy, God. We cry out for mercy, and we thank you for the times we have gotten mercy in our life, and we cry out for mercy for Miss Glenda, God. She's hurting so bad, Father, Lord. And we just want to say to you that we still trust in you and we still believe in you, but we don't understand, God. We need help over here, Father, Lord. Would you move on our behalf, Father, Lord? I'm not afraid in front of my friends to say, help, 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 God. We have said, help, God. We have asked for help, and now we just plead for help, oh God. And we don't shame you to say that if you don't do what we want, God, then you're not a real God. You are God. But we are that desperate, God. We beg today. We beg for help for our friend. And we ask you for that same help for the people that are in his church that have hurt them, have been hurt so badly. God, for Celon and Catherine, God, I don't even know how they're standing, Lord. It's by your grace, God. It's just by your grace, God. They've made it. Father, Lord, you have been good, and we give you glory for that. And we pray for that continued stuff, Lord God. We know good and well that they're not going to be okay if you don't keep moving, God. If you don't keep pouring grace, if you don't keep bringing back memories, if you don't keep sending friends, God, there is going to be so very tough for them, Father, Lord. And God, help them to walk in the truth that you gave them a great gift named Tim Plemons. God, what a gift he was. So grateful for him. So grateful. So we would never erase the pain to have to get rid of him in our life. We're thankful that he was there. We're thankful that he was in our lives. And we just say that to you today. And we ask you, God, for Mrs. Cassie's prayer request, for Miss Sandovy's unspoken prayer request, God, across the room, others who lifted up their needs, this woman that Brother Jeff met, and we look to for Miss Cassie, God, in so many different ways. We say, we need you, Jesus. We ask you to look our way, Father, Lord. We're not like those who just kind of hope and wish. God, I know you. I've heard your voice. I've seen you move. God, will you do those things in our situation and give grace and mercy. Help us to see you tonight in our study as we finish the book of Esther. Look our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to tell you, I'm sorry that I shouted into the microphone. I heard four or five people jump out there, you know. I learned that from Sammy Burgess, by the way. And I've had several people where I've preached that have come back and told me, hey, I did what you said. I just got before God and screamed help. I have a woman in my life that said, I was barren, and I have a child now because I got in my yard and just screamed help. Because the Bible says, if you seek him with all your heart, what? You shall find him. And you guys remember the blind guy? He was screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And his friends said, what? Hush, don't trouble the master. Maybe they were saying, you're embarrassing yourself. Probably they were thinking, you're embarrassing us, right? Hush, boy, hush. But he screamed all the more. Do you think he's glad he screamed all the more? Yes, because he got the help of God. And so we do that today. Hey, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Esther, chapter number 9. We closed last week in a very weird place. Does anybody remember where we closed? We were talking about hanging people. We ran clean out of time. And we were talking about how Esther asked the king, please hang the 10 sons of Haman. And the Bible gives all this information, and all of it's good. Do you think that there's any fluff in the Bible, Miss Cheryl? Do you think there's any fluff? Do you think God was ever like, got to fill some space, you know, these people got ADD? No, every word has purpose, right? And so when God told us that, we see in Esther's life that she was using wisdom. Let me remind you why that is. Years ago, we had these rascally crows that were eating the screens on the back of the admin building at Calvary Children's Home. I do not have any clue why, but these were like Green Beret, rotten crows. They would swoop in and they would snatch at the screens and tear it and then go take it to other places. Do you remember this, Miss Catherine? And I can't believe Snyder Turner approved this, but after about the 8th screen went down, he said, Brian, do whatever you got to do. And we're in Cobb County, Georgia, but I got my 12-gauge shotgun, and I did what I got to do. And I remember when I shot the first one, it didn't stop them, but here's what I did, because it works in the animal kingdom and it works in humanity. I took the one that I shot, and I hung it upside down on a chain off the back porch. And do you know, Miss Catherine will tell you, those crows have never come back. There's something about that judgment hanging that sends a message. And when those 10 sons of Haman hung, all generations, at least the next 6 or 7, would say, remember the 10 sons of Haman, right? Don't do what they did. Do not try to destroy the Jews. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we see in this instance that Esther is providing wisdom. She's so wise to know that even at her young age, that was an important thing. And also, I would say, Ms. Sandovy, that was kind of tough of her, wasn't it? I mean, don't you think that's a little tough for a girl to say? I want his 10 boys hanging up out in the front yard, you know? I mean, it was tough, but she showed strength. And if we look back over the story of Esther, get here when you can, sweetheart. No, I'm kidding. She had to go see a child play volleyball at Mount Perrin Christian School. But anyway, so we're talking about her strength and her courage and her wisdom there. What other great attributes have we seen of Esther? I mean, can somebody just speak to that? What else do we know about her? How spectacular is this girl? Can anybody say anything to that? A good attribute of Esther, what? She's gorgeous, right? She's using all of her faculties, you know? It's so funny the way he said that. She's pretty. You're not going to believe this. I'll tell a funny story. Guys, I just love you folks. So years ago when I was a teenager, Uncle Dwayne and I went to an Outback Steakhouse, and there was a very attractive, I would say, 30-ish woman, 30, 35-year-old woman, and she was just staring at Uncle Dwayne and staring up there. And finally, he walked up to her. I was with him, and he said, "Do I know you?" And she said, "No, I'm just fascinated." I was like, "We got to get out of here, Uncle Dwayne." And here I am. I was a fit teenager. I was like, "What about this?" She's in love with him. But at any rate, I can't say that she might not have had a sip of something, but no, you know I'm kidding. I don't know. At any rate, what other attributes? We said she's pretty, and that was something God gave her, but she certainly used that, right? You should use all the tools that God gives you, and she did. What do you got? She knew where to go to for help. She went running to the Lord. Very smart, very smart. She was kind. I see that in the story because when Mordecai's out in the street crying, she sent message, "Hey, how can I help you?" She tried to give him clothes and whatnot. She could have just been, "I'm queen. He can do what he wants out there." But she was concerned about him, and her concern moved the thing. What other attribute do you see? She's courageous for sure. Risked her life. I mean, could have died. He done got rid of one wife who came, who wouldn't come when she was called. Now she's going to go when she wasn't called. Did you? Right. She grasped that. Hey, how about you today? How about you, by the way? How many of you guys are fabulously talented? Some of you are, right? How many of you guys are gifted? Or maybe you're in a position where you got family. Do you understand that God has you in this position for such a time as this? And I will tell you, those of you who are in your senior season, so help me God, you have never been more valuable than you are right now. You have read more Bible. You've had more answered prayers. You've had more life experience. You have more wisdom. You are at your peak value. Let the next generation see this is what it looks like when somebody walks with God. And so she realized, right, I have been given some assets here, my position, right, and all that God has done. Her beauty also, and she used it for good. Can anybody else remember anything else about her? Somebody said courageous. That was smart. Go ahead. Perfect. So it's easy in the story of Esther to see all that Esther is doing, and she's going to keep doing it up until the end of the story, and she's done so very good, but you could subtract Esther from the story and add a different girl, and God could do that with a different girl if she would do the same things. But you can't subtract God from this story, right? If you subtract God from this story, a lot of the good that you just spoke about would go vamoose, and the whole plan would be out the window for sure. But God, in this book, it's very important as we close out this book tonight, we understand God is intentionally working in the shadows in the book of Esther. There is no Red Sea that splits. Watch what I'm about to say. In the story of Moses, when the Red Sea split, you remember what Moses said. I've quoted it many times. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, right? You're going to witness God is moving. There's none of that in this story. There is no Red Sea that split. There are no walls of Jericho that fell. Remember when the walls of Jericho fell? For the inhabitants of Jericho, that was a sign to them, God's for them, right? He's not for us. For the Israelites, it was a sign God is for us, something that they could see. There's no swimming axe head, right? There's not a swimming axe head. Do you remember that in the story? That was God's demonstrating to the people, I am working for this prophet. You should listen to him. There's no divine healing. crazy divine healing. Do you believe Dion Lauder said that he literally had a divine healing where he watched his leg grow 2 inches? I'll tell you this, he never lied to me about anything else. Why would I not believe that? He said his friends got together for him at a barbecue and prayed, and that happened. But when Jesus told men, rise, take up your bed and walk, do you think any of them took off running? Do you think any of them got up and ran? I bet they did, right? In the story of Esther, there's none of that. Why would God literally have a book of the Bible where he cannot be seen? In fact, if we were to convict God of working in the story of Esther, it would have to be one of those, I wrote it in my notes, but the word where they have the evidence, but it's not the DNA, it's not the fingerprint, it's the circumstantial evidence. Very good, right? The circumstantial evidence. You know what a circumstantial evidence is? Let's just say tonight, please play along with me. Let's just say for a second that Miss Cheryl Millwood's ex went missing, right? He's missing. He's nowhere to be found. Miss Cheryl Millwood's ex is missing, right? And then for some period of time, he's missing until somebody realizes, hey, maybe something happened to him. And nobody saw Miss Cheryl at the scene, right? Nobody saw. There's not her fingerprints. There's not her DNA. But there is a video of her leaving the Home Depot with a shovel and a tarp. Oh, right? Some of those flock cameras caught her driving out to the desert where she's never been before, right? And there was that going on. One of the neighbors heard her say, he'd be better off dead. You know, guess who got the insurance money? Miss Cheryl Millwood, right? Suddenly you think Miss Cheryl may well have whacked him with that shovel and put him in that tarp, right? At any rate, you see that in God. Listen to what I'm about to say. In the entire book, not even a mention of one of his glorious names. Not even a mention of one of God's glorious names. You know the name El Roy? Does anybody know what that means? The God who sees. Is it clear that God saw them? Is it, but his name's not there. Not even the name Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. It's not there. Wouldn't it be a great place to plop that down somewhere in there? But it's not there intentionally. Has God provided for them? Oh, yes, God has provided them. Not the name the Almighty God. It'd be a great place, I would think, to give God glory about chapter number 8 to say, look what the Almighty God did for us. What does the Almighty God mean, Brother Jeff? Almighty God. Yeah, all capable, right? I mean, nothing is too hard for him. The decree has come out to kill the Jews, but now the Jews are getting to kill the people who are coming. All of that is in there, and none of that's coming out. God has intentionally hid that from us. There's two songs that come to mind for our church tonight before we go to verse number 1 of chapter number 9. Years ago, in my parents' church, our home church, they used to sing a song called, it said, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. When you don't understand, when you can't trace his plan, when you don't, you can't trace his hand, when you don't see his plan, trust his heart. Trust his heart. Can you look back at a time in your life where you can't see God? You can't feel God? You can't hear God, right? God is ever moving in our lives. He just is. He's moving in that way. And when I think about that, there's one other song I wanted to tell you about. There was a song, He Who Holds Us in His Hands Has No Problems, Only Plans. He who has control of all sees the smallest sparrow fall. He who works where no one knows doesn't sleep as we suppose, but works in all things, in big and small things, for his own glory and our best good. Esther is going to have to trust that in times in the story. And as she has trusted that, she has found that her trust was well placed. And when we find ourselves in chapter number 9, the second decree has gone out. They've convinced the king to undo the damage that he did, and they can stand up for themselves. Go with me, if you will. Chapter number 9, verse number 1. We will get out of this book tonight by God's amazing grace, right? The Bible says, now in the 12th month, chapter 9, verse number 1, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, That's those. That, by the way, that's so important. That's the, just mark a note to come back that, to that. When the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. That's crazy. Last time we talked about it, it's like a deer eating the hunter, right? I mean, they were in big trouble, but they've turned it around. It's crazy. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them. Think about that. Do you know where else you see that that line in the Bible? God told Joshua, no man will be able to withstand you, right? No man will be successfully able to militarily defeat you. And he walked in that. And the Bible says God is working for them even though we don't see him, even though we can't hear him, even though his name's not mentioned, even though it's just the circumstantial evidence that's going on. Verse the last part of the verse said, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. The fear from where? Where was the fear that fell on him? Where was them, excuse me. Where did that come from? Do you think God added that fear? Fear fell on the enemies of the Jews. That's what it's saying. And they couldn't withstand the Jews. Yes, God sent that. God moved on their behalf. You guys might understand this. How many of you guys have ever been in a fist fight? Ever been in a fist fight? I'm sad to say, been in a few of those, right? I'd have to tell you a crazy story. I got one this year. Ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Don't want to be in a fist fight. My son, my wretched son got me in something. Anyway, long story short, you don't want to be afraid when you're fighting. When you're fighting, your knees are weak, right? Your strength's not. You want to be courageous. And when God gave the enemies of Israel fear, it was to weaken them so that they would be strong. Can anyone testify? Could somebody tonight testify to a time where you couldn't see God, you couldn't feel God, you couldn't hear God, but you look back and you see God, it was working? Can anyone speak to that tonight? Go ahead. Can you speak to it? Tell us about it. Go ahead. Gotcha. Let me illustrate something to you guys. If Melita, can I get you to come up here for just a second? Brother Jeff, will you and Melita just stand over there for just 1 second for me, please? And I didn't ask Melita if I could do this, but I want you to help see because it matches pretty good. Okay, brother, you stand right here, and I'm sorry for what I'm about to do to you, but here we go. You guys head that way, if you will. Miss Melita over there and Brother Jeff over there. So I'm going to explain to you guys something that actually happened in my world where it felt like God had totally abandoned me. And then we're going to bring it back to what happened in the story of Esther. Years ago at the Christmas tree lot, there was a guy who sold Christmas trees named Steve. I found out later that he was a homosexual. He was a very difficult man to work with. Some of the guys that I buy Christmas trees from, they are very, very difficult, rascal people. I just can't begin to tell you. But this year in particular, Steve, I won't say the homosexual. I don't want him to hit me, right? I don't want to get beat up by a deacon. Here we go. Anyway, Steve shorted me and stole from me 200 Christmas trees. And I begged Steve, it's a children's home, man. Don't do this to us. Help us. When I couldn't get anything done, some of my friends actually called him to say, you can't do this to a children's home. Help this children's home out. And all the while, it felt like God had abandoned me right here. But you know what I didn't know? Over here, there was a pastor of a little church in White, Georgia, who was a former mega church pastor. And in Florida, he had a mega church, and he sold thousands of Christmas trees. But when he went out to a little church in White, Georgia, at the leadership of the Lord, he bought too many Christmas trees. And he had on him about 200 extra Christmas trees, right? I know nothing about that. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm over here going, God, why have you done this? When suddenly somebody said to me, hey, I heard of a church out in White, Georgia that Mike could use your help. And I called this guy and said, hey, what do you got? He said, oh, brother, it would save our church thousands and thousands of dollars if you could just come and I'll give you these 200 trees at a discount. That's the basic gist of the story, right? But what I did not know is when I came and bought those trees, it was 4 a.m. when I got out there. He had his whole family, even like the 3-year-old out there, they were so happy to load those trees, right? They were like, woo, we're not losing this money. But he told me about a group called Buy a Tree, Change a Life that God was trying to connect me to that has tremendously excellent trees, and they sell hundreds of thousands of Christmas trees in the United States, so they get a great big discount on those trees. And when I got connected to this person, literally the very next year, are you catching me? The very next year after he stole from me, this person gave me 200 Christmas trees. Literally, they said, we've got extra, you can have 200 Christmas trees. Since this event, this person has given Calvary Children's Home 600 or 700 Christmas trees, right? And it turns out that it was so good for Steve the deacon to steal from me, right? It was so good because it connected me to that story. He'll always remember the Children's Home that saved his life, and I'll never forget that. In the same way, Haman is over here. I'm so sorry, brother. Haman is wreaking havoc, right? He's got a decree, right? I want to kill these Jews. But over there, you got Mordecai and you got Esther. She's better looking than Esther ever was, right? And so Haman is working all this thing out, right? He's working all this thing, all this wickedness. And all the while over there, God is raising up godly Mordecai, brave, courageous, beautiful Esther to come to the rescue. They can't see it. They can't feel it. But God is doing that. Thank you. Would you guys be seated? This is when the second decree is being pushed out. But go with me, if you will, to Esther chapter number 3 and verse number 13. And I want you just to help. I really, really, really want you to grasp that tonight. Esther chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Can you tell? I like to put it in big print, so I print my scriptures. It probably drives you guys crazy. But the Bible says, this is the first decree, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish, what's the next line? Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon, do you recognize that date? The 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. This is what's crazy in this story. On this very day that was set to destroy even the babies, even the children, a complete slaughter of the Jews, God took that weapon from Haman and handed it to Mordecai and to Esther. And that day became the day that they celebrate to this day. To this day, they have the Feast of Esther in the days of Purim because it's the day that God had rescued him. And if you walk with God and you bring your troubles to God, somebody was right and said she knew where to go. You bring your troubles to God, God can take that which was meant to harm you and give it to you to try to help you. Think with me, if you will, about the sword of Goliath. The sword of Goliath, the Bible says that Saul said to David, he's a man of war from his youth. When he said that about Goliath, that meant Saul had killed a lot of people already before he got to David. He's been a man of war since he was young. When he was young, he was still a big old sucker. Had all that hair, you know, like cast on from Beauty and the Beast, right? Big old dude, right? He was just mean and angry. And he wielded that sword, and for 40 days, that sword humiliated Israel. They all ran. But when David killed Goliath, the Bible's very detailed about what happened. When David killed Goliath, he told him, I'm going to cut your head off. He told him that. Goliath could have said back to him, With what? You got you a slingshot. Are them rocks sharp? What are you talking about, right? But David would have said, in just a second, I'm going to take that big old sword you got. But when he killed Goliath, you remember what happened. The army ran past David to be in the fight. There's something about when you win a battle for Jesus, the other Christians will join you. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've seen it. It's precious, right? You build it, they will come. The family of God will join you when there's a move of God. At any rate, you see that. But David did something unusual, and I don't mean to be graphic. David grabbed Goliath's armor, and he grabbed his head. That's what the Bible says. And he went walking with him, right? And he took his armor. His armor probably was to remind him that God had been with him. And that big old head was just to say, oorah, right? You know what I mean? Don't mess with the people of God. That's what that was about, right? He did that. But he did not pick up the sword. He didn't pick up the sword. And then years later, do you remember, when David was on the run and Saul was trying to kill him, he stopped by a priest's place and he said, do you have a weapon or a spear? He said, I only have one weapon. Do you remember what it was? What was it? The sword of Goliath. And in the epic story of David at Ziklag, when he rescued his wives and his children, guess which sword he was toting? He was toting the sword of Goliath with him when he went. God gave back to him the thing that scared the people because he walked with God. When I think about the evil brothers of Joseph, the evil brothers of Joseph thought to harm him and hurt him, but didn't they do him good? Didn't they do him good? What about the murder of Jesus? The murder of Jesus? The cruel, merciless murder of Jesus. Do you know what the anthem verse of Calvary Children's Home is? It's in several places on our campus. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, right? That's kind of the anthem verse. That's actually written about Jesus. And it says in that same passage, he's the stone that the builders rejected, but God made him to be the chief cornerstone. In those days, you set the cornerstone and everything else was built upon it, right? It was marvelous in the eyes of God, the murder of Jesus. It just was, because it brought the salvation. Dwayne Swan's going to be in heaven because of the murder of Jesus. Miss Sandovy, you're going to be in heaven because of the murder of Jesus. Could you help keep Dwayne Swan in line in heaven? Could you help us out with that, right? I mean, God is doing that in their lives, and we see it in several different places. And if you walk with God, God will do that. I remember, how many of you guys love Chuck Sprayberry? And did you love him? Chuck was the youth pastor of this church for 10 plus years. Just a precious dude. Smart. Oh, smart. If you ask Chuck, hey, what color is that shirt? Chuck would say, I was on a boat one day and I saw an algae bloom. And you know, he wouldn't say it's green. He just was, he could talk, I mean, so unbelievably, right? We had dinner with Chuck. Chuck got one of those back scratchers. It was Christmas Day. Had dinner. He was taking that back scratcher, reaching into the chocolate bowl and flipping chocolate up into his mouth. He could not have been more happy. We decided that night we were going to go ahead and drive down to Florida after the Christmas party. We jump in with Greg and Andy. We got I'll never forget it. We're driving down there. My nephew Brent's in the front seat, and Melita and Christian, Julie, all in the back. We're driving down to Florida, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a call, and it was Chuck's wife, and she's frantic. She's not. I'm talking about like she's not like concerned. She's frantic. And she's saying, something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. We can't wake up Chuck. And I'm like, And I don't even want to tell Melita yet because I'm like, what is this? And about 10 minutes later, I will never forget this as long as I live. About 10 minutes later, she called back and I heard her scream into the phone. It's my wife's brother, by the way. I heard her scream into the phone. He's dead, Brian. He's dead, Brian. He's dead. And I heard her father-in-law, Lamar Rackley, say, he heard you, and they hung up the phone. And I'm literally driving. Nobody else in the caravan of my family knows that the guy we just had dinner with at 46 years old is dead. And I'm like, what do I do with this? I mean, you know, you want to be a strong man, but what do I do here? We're in the middle of nowhere in Alabama, cornfields all around us. And Melita began to say, tell me, Brian, tell me, Brian, tell me, Brian, from the back seat. God is my witness. When I said to her, Melita, I'm sorry, he's dead. My son threw up instantly. Boom, threw up in the back seat. I remember Melita got out of the car and was so sorrowful that I literally had to hold her up against the side of the car. My son got out and his whole face was shaking. He might be 10 years old at the time. And I remember trying to gain control of the situation. And I remember saying to him the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life. And I said, "Christian, we are men and men don't melt." You know what he said to me? He said, "Daddy, I do." And in that minute, I thought I might. Got a few people on the phone, Dwayne, a few others, CJ, get over to that hospital. I'll never forget, though, you got to hear what I'm saying. Sorrowful, sorrowful, sorrowful. But I'll never forget when we got back the next day, you know, that Rackley family's pretty well known. When we pulled up into their neighborhood, there were several cars lining the street, and we probably parked 40 yards from the house where Mindy was in with her parents. And God is my witness, Brother David, you could hear her wailing all the way down, right? I mean, you got out of the car and she was just wailing, wailing, wailing. And I remember thinking, that's just a terribly unsettling feeling. It just is. Knocked on the front door, I'll never forget this. Tim Rackley, do y'all know him? Lead singer for the Old Pass. Brian Rackley, worship leader at Burnt Hickory Baptist Church. Lamar Rackley, pastor. Brian Busby, campus director. Youth pastor, Tim Rackley looks at me and he goes, "Brian, we've never had anything like this happen to our family. We don't know what to do. Mindy is just an inconsolable mess." And you got a youth pastor, a senior pastor, a worship leader, and a well-known worship band leader, and we're looking at each other like, what? And I'll never forget it. Melita just walked right through there, and she got in front of Mindy, and she got on her knees, and she just wept with her. And she just cried with her, and about 2 minutes later, she stopped weeping, and we started making plans and figuring it out. And it occurred to me that day that you got two preachers, two worship leaders, and one strong woman. One strong woman, and there was only one person that was right for the job. Do you know why? The hardship of Melita's life that she would never have wanted has made her strong. She lost her parents already, right? And God had used that to strengthen her in her life, to be a friend and a help. And when anybody loses anybody, you'll never have a better friend than Melita, because she can feel it, right? She can tell you where you are. Even the pain of your life, if you will bring it to God, God can use it and give it to you to bless the kingdom of God. Think for just a minute about what he does every day at Calvary Children's Home. Every day at Calvary Children's Home, they come with such brokenness, and brokenness brings them to a place of Jesus. I'll tell you a funny story to lighten the mood. Years ago, we went to a funeral, true story, and at the funeral, somebody said, this was one of the funeral of the Atwood kids, and that we had four kids there, and it was crazy. They brought the body in. They're carrying the body in one hand, a Sprite in the other, you know, headband. They do things differently in those non-Christian families, and they lower Granny down in the hole. She was smoke on oxygen. This lady, I was just waiting for a boom, you know. But that didn't happen. But at the end of the funeral, literally, they said, okay, everybody throw a flower on Granny, right? And so all the kids, the adult children, they all started throwing a flower on Granny. And as they threw the flowers, one of their cell phones fell in the hole. True story. Somebody in the crowd hollered, well, maybe she'll call us from time to time, you know. And Brother Snyder, you know how dignified he is. He was saying, men, you know, decorum would say, we walk away, we leave that phone down there, we see what the great people can do. That guy hollered out, I paid $39 for that phone, and jumped in the hole. He's in the hole, literally on top of Granny. He can't get it, Miss Nettles, so he begins to surf beside the sides of it. He hollers, somebody get me a clothes hanger. And they're trying to work this thing out, laying prostrate on Granny. One of the kids walked over to me and said, Uncle Brian, I am so embarrassed. I said, that's the appropriate emotion. This is broken, man. This is so dysfunctional. They come from that, but that brokenness brings them to Jesus, right? And they come to Calvary Children's Home. I don't know if you know this story, but God sent me to be a friend to those kids, and I got to raise C.J. Martin, who's a deacon in this church. One day on the ski trip, Jackson Martin, I'm following him, and he takes me down the terrain park. Do you know what the terrain park is? It's where you jump on a rail and you hit a jump And there is only one jump in all of West Virginia that says, do not jump this without scoping it first. Meaning you're supposed to get up and look and realize there is no back to it, right? And you can ski off to the side and kind of get down it. So that's what all of us who have a brain do. Some of them expert skiers, they hit it wide open and they jump. I'm following Jackson. He doesn't read the sign. So help me God, he hit it wide open, and I saw him like Dukes of Hazzard. Off you go into the wild blue yonder. Well, I knew he was in trouble, Miss Rich. I knew good and well. I mean, he's going to fly 35 feet. And when I got to the other side, Brother Celon, he had literally created a crater where he landed. I mean, the debris field, but he's just laying there. And Brother Don, I got that down to him, and I grabbed him, and I said, you can't stay here, because when you jump, somebody else might jump. I grabbed him, so help me God, as I picked him up, a 200-pound snowboarder landed right where he was, and he grabbed my face and said, you just saved my life, right? I said, I just saved your life, kid, you know? But the reason I tell that story, do you know what that kid's name is? Jackson Bryan. His parents named him after me. There's this place where we bring our hurt and our pain to, and we arrive and God begins to use things for good. And God is absolutely doing that for the people of Israel because they have looked to him and worked and walked his direction, right? God uses those things that we use. My fear of preaching created a dependence upon the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What's more important for a preacher, confidence in himself or dependence upon God? My fear created a dependence, a dependence, a dependence, a dependence. You know what the danger is? The danger is we won't bring our brokenness to God. The danger is that we'll say we can take it and we're okay and we'll make it through. No, bring your brokenness to God. Go with me to verse 16. I pledged to you guys that we would get out of here. We got to move. Go to me, verse 16. But the Bible says, but the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. You see that God is helping them to defend themselves, but that phrase, they laid not their hands on the prey, that is significant. That's significant. You know how significant it is? It's in verse 15 and it's in verse 10. And if God says it to you three times in one chapter, do you think he's calling to your attention that it's important? It's important that they didn't take from this? Here's what I would say to you, and it's so important moving forward. Where there's no money being exchanged, your motive is clarified to the masses. Did you catch that? When no money's being exchanged, right, it's very clarifying what your motive is. No one could ever say to the Jews, oh, you killed those people to take their money. Here was the decree. The decree said, you can kill the people who come after you and you can take their stuff. Watch what I'm about to say. Saul was told, destroy the Amalekites and don't touch their stuff. Don't take their stuff. What did he do? He didn't destroy the Amalekites and he took their stuff, right? The opposite. At Jericho, they were told, destroy the enemy, don't touch the stuff. It's accursed. What did they do? They destroyed the enemy and took the stuff. And here in Esther, they do something wise. They destroy the enemy, but they don't take the stuff even though they're allowed to. Even though they're allowed to. And when you do something for God that gets you no money at all, it absolutely clarifies the motive and it shares with the people that your heart is in the right place and it's good. And forever people would know that. Think with me, if you will, about the people who serve in this church. Miss Lee Ellen Rich, do you get a check from this church? Does the church pay you? You're on salary? I didn't know that. Are you really? Are you on staff? Are you a secretary or whatever? Do you get paid? This church, you don't. David Henderson, you get paid?
No, sir.
Think about this. Think about the people who work in your life, Do the moms of your life get paid for being a mom? Do the husbands get paid for being a husband? Do the friends get paid for being a friend? Do the friends get paid for being a friend? Do you know what? The most beautiful things we do in all the world are for free. You should volunteer for Jesus. Do you know what's crazy that I see in my life? When I look back at all the crazy stories that I have of how God stepped in and God helped me, almost all of them are when we were doing something for Jesus that was free. One of the very first miracles I ever saw Our church at Western Hills needed a ditch dug, and me and my brothers just went out there and started digging a ditch and digging a ditch, and it was going to take days and days and days. And out of nowhere, a guy pulled over and said, I drove past you guys an hour ago, and y'all were digging this ditch, and I drove back by, and you're still digging this ditch. Could I help you with my ditch witch finish this ditch? And he literally dug like a 600-yard trench with that ditch witch in about 4 minutes flat, right? And you say, well, Brian, that was just a guy showing kindness. Do you know I owned a landscape company and I dug a lot of ditches? You know how many times a ditch witch stopped? The only time I was doing it for King Jesus. Catch that? The only time in my life somebody got off to help me on a job was the one time I was doing it for King Jesus, and I was doing it for free. There's just something special about that, doing it for free. God is working on behalf of these people. He's doing so much for them. Go with me, if you will, to verse number 22. We got 5 minutes. We got a haul. Verse number 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish among them that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly. You know what I'm just going to go ahead and tell you for time's sake? In verse number 26, the Bible says they begin to celebrate these 2 days annually, that they say these are so significant, but watch how they named them. It's important. Wherefore, they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the world's words of this letter and of that which they seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them. Purim. Do you know why they named it Purim? Because in the beginning of the story, Haman and the boys, when picking the date to murder them, cast the dice, which were called Pur. Right? They literally just cast the dice just to pick a random day to murder them. But on that random day that they were to be murdered, God helped them to resist those people and get rid of their enemies. And what they were saying is God got involved with the roll of the dice. God got involved in the roll of the dice. There are no coincidences with God. Literally, they just cast the dice. That's the day we're going to kill them. And God said, okay, I'll take that day, and I'm going to give it back. God got involved. Think about the scenes in the Bible where you see just a random coincidence. Do you remember the Bible says that on the 40th day, David showed up just when Goliath was going to holler out his decree? You remember in the story of Ruth, the Bible actually says it was her happen, the word hap, but in other translations says she just happened to stop by the fields of Boaz. Do you remember that? She just randomly picked that field, but it just happened to be the field of the great Boaz. You can look through a million different times, the various different things where God is working. And they said, you know what? There are no random things. In all the areas of your life, the people you met today, you were supposed to meet today. Right? Did you hear that? The people you bumped into, you were supposed to bump into those people today. You're sitting here today with purpose, right? There is no random. If you think, like Miss Claudia, who said the other day, Brian, I have no use left. And I said, you can pray and you can send out encouragement. And she's been doing that, right? Her days are full of purpose. God has purpose for her in that situation. Remember the video we showed about the woman who was paralyzed just to her neck? And she said, God does all things well. God does all things well. Here's the thing that I would just say to you. We're done, okay? This is cool, though. You got to catch this. The Bible tells us that after this thing is over, they send out all these things and they set in motion those 2 days to celebrate. The Bible tells us that both Esther and Mordecai continued to do good for the people, the Jews. Chapter number 10, it says that Esther spoke peace to them and sought their wealth. Esther put out decrees to help them. They continued to do right. There's an awesome verse in the Bible. Would you get it on the board? It's in Philippians. Give me just the grace of this thing. It's cool, right? Philippians chapter 3. I'll find it in a second. I believe it's 13, but... Does anybody know where that verse is that says... it says, forgetting those things are behind? You should know it. Shame on you guys. I lost the verse, but you should find it. It's the very last page. I got you. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. You ready? The Bible says... Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know who wrote that? Paul wrote that after he had written many of the books of the Bible. And here in the story of Esther, they've won a great victory. They've set up things to help the Jews. Literally, their story is going to spill into the book of Nehemiah, but they're still trying to do something for Jesus. There's three words in those verses that are important for Calvary Baptist Church. Number one, forgetting. Forgetting. Number two, reaching. Number three, pressing. And here's what I would just say to you. Think about it from a husband's perspective. How many husbands fall into the trap that once they win their wife and they marry their wife, they quit doing the things that they did to win their wife? A great, great husband once told me, if you want to have a rocking family all the days of your life, keep winning what you won. Keep doing the kindness. Almost every day I say to Melita, I'm going to bless you today. Almost every single day, I intend to bless you today. How can I bless you today? How can I help you today? It's just very, very important. In our world, we try to do the same kind of things for each other like we did way back then. One Christmas, man, money has always been tight for us because of where we worked and whatnot. But one year I got hands on $700. And I was going to give Melita $700. That was a big deal to us. But we wanted to do it in a fun way. So literally, we lived in the house across the street from the children's home. I took that $700 and I got it put in 20s and I put it in the ceiling fan. Are you listening, right? I put it up on the blades of the ceiling fan. And I said to her on Christmas morning, hey, I got a prize for you. There's several hundred dollars. I'm going to turn on that fan and whatever you can catch, you can keep, right? And I turned on that fan. I did a trial run. That money went blowing everywhere. You guys see Melita's at Comforce. She got jiggy with it that morning. I'm talking about jumping up on top of, you know, furniture, grabbing it. You know what's crazy? Go ahead and tell her. How much did you catch? She didn't catch nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I had to say to the kids, find it. We had to pull out the furniture. Some of it blew behind the furniture, right? You know, and I still gave it all to her. You know what happens when a husband quits? Listen, when a husband quits doing those things, it weakens a marriage. When a husband keeps doing those things, it strengthens a marriage. Would you agree to that? It strengthens a marriage. In the same way, forgetting those things that were behind. You know what's going to be awesome? In heaven, we're going to remember the Jubilees. In heaven, we're going to remember the days we put out the chairs, right? In heaven, we're going to remember that, hey, there were days this place was so packed and all of the Awanas and it was beautiful. But that doesn't do us good right now because it's our job to keep on winning what we won. It's our job to keep on serving Jesus for free. It's our job to keep on reaching. The day you quit reaching is the day you start weakening your Christianity, right? Esther and Mordecai, they kept on. We've won a bunch, but we're still working, right? They're reaching. And then that word pressing means there's going to be times it's hard, right? I got to go to church on Wednesday night, but it's hard. I'm going to press, I'm going to press, I'm going to press. And as you do it, it's going to be good. So this year, me and you, let's do this. Let's press. Let's reach. Let's forget, King Jesus is so worthy today. He's as worthy today as he was any of the days of old, right? Isn't he? Right? And we reach and we press, and it's going to make this Christianity that we're growing and walking in so much better. It just is, right? We were created to serve and to work. You know what's crazy? I see this thing, and it's 8:02. Give me this last story. I see this thing of connection in my life. I wish I could just tell you how God took the broken bones of my life and made them strong, you know, help me. You subtract some of the pains of my childhood. I'm not the same house parent that I am today. But I can see it even in Miss Elna's life. When Miss Elna moved to this country, she just so happened to buy a house about a block from this church, right? She just so happened. They literally randomly picked it. They were trying to get into a program, right? And they lived in that house for a very long time. And then that put them in close proximity to this church. She was scared to come to this church. You remember why? Because it's named Calvary, and Calvary in her African tongue means death, right? It means death, and she thought, why would you name a church death, right? I don't want to go to that church, but she said the Spirit of God kept drawing her, kept drawing her, kept drawing her. Did you know that Miss Elna was a caseworker at an orphanage in Africa? That's how she and Dion met. She was literally a caseworker to 400 children in Africa, and she didn't know that this church had a children's home. Well, think about this whole line. So that house was a blessing to them. Dion's family began to grow. Then tragically last year, you know that Dion died, and Dion was such a good guy that while he had lived in Hiram, he took that original home, and he gave it to a widow woman for like $600 a month, and they just rented it to her almost for nothing just to be a blessing to her with that home. But watch what I'm about to say. This year, the same year Dion died, she had to go into hospice care, and her family moved her out of that home into hospice care. And now Elna has that very same home that she just happened to have, and it can make real money for her. It can actually make $1,600 a month to support her in her place without her husband. And she's still connected to a church and a youth group and a dude in the back that loved her. So we went and cleaned out that house. Just happened. I don't think it just happened, right? I just think it happened. I see that. You walk with God and you will see him hand back to you things from your past. And you're going to go, that's cool. Don't you think the day David's toting that sword, he's like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Cooler than the head he toted. Cooler than the armor. Thank God for Esther. She walked with God. She brought the help of God. God, we love you today. Pray in Jesus' name. Let us volunteer for you, King Jesus. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O God. I love you. I'm crazy about you. You've been so good. I pray in Jesus' mighty name you'd strengthen us to forget and reach and press, O God. Do it for your son's sake. We ask it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.